This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
In a mining town, on the second moon of Jupiter, something deadly is happening.
It's not Outlands Jupiter, but a deadly planet called Earth that is our focus as we begin this hour, looking at the boom in mining and extracting oil from rock and sand. The boom that runs from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico and will be traced by the Keystone XL pipeline if it ever gets built. The pipeline is the industrial and political symbol that North America, already the world's largest energy consumer, is well on the way to becoming the largest energy producer once again.
And he'll do it with an all-of-the-above approach, including nuclear power, and yes, offshore oil drilling.
The chant is, drill, baby, drill. And that's what we hear all across this country in our rallies.
We have to take responsibility to drill where we can safely. Out, away from our shores, is as safe as we can be.
Sound familiar? Well, some of those political promises are coming true. From 2008 to 2013, domestic oil production rose by 2.5 million barrels per day. That's the biggest five-year increase in this country's history. Representing everything this boom can deliver, its upside and environmental downside is the Keystone XL pipeline. Over 1,179 miles long in its final form, running from Hardisty, Alberta in Canada to Steel City, Nebraska, where it would connect to the existing pipeline network that leads to the refineries on the Gulf of Mexico. What does that look like, the pipeline and the boom? Journalist Tony Horowitz walked and drove the journey this oil would make with the Keystone pipeline and tells that story in his new book, Boom, Oil, Money, Cowboys, Strippers, and the Energy Rush That Could Change America Forever. Tony, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with the sort of moon of Jupiter description that you give of Alberta, Canada, where the oil actually is extracted from the sands and the ground.
Yeah, well, like you, John, I'm a former foreign correspondent, and we've both seen a lot of scarred landscapes around the world. But no place I've visited is quite so eerie and just plain jaw-dropping as the tar sands mining region of northern Alberta. This is a subarctic wilderness, used to be dense forest and wetlands. All that has been removed. The earth has been peeled of its skin down to a depth of several hundred feet so that some of the largest machines in the world can gouge out the dense, oily sand beneath. And this heavy tar really has to be ripped out of the earth, and it takes 2 tons of tar sand to produce a single barrel of crude oil. That's about how much you need to get from Washington to Boston in your average SUV. So you have this just immense amount of sand being dug out of the ground 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's just a really devastating sight where this is happening.
Contrast that with the pastoral scenes that the pipeline would actually pass through in the Great Plains.
Yeah, most of the pipeline path, almost all of it, passes through extremely rural, sparsely populated ranching and farming territory, really the northern plains and prairie, quite desolate in places. It looks nothing like northern Alberta. It's not yet an industrial landscape. And that's one of the concerns. How will the pipeline change the landscape and the life for people who live along its path?
How environmentally sensitive are the people who are making money hand over fist up in the actual extraction zone? And how much are they counting on this pipeline existing?
I wouldn't say the tar sands industry is particularly environmentally sensitive, except as it serves their purposes. By law, they have to reclaim the mining area. They're very sensitive to public opinion, so they want to scrub their image. But I didn't sense much environmental concern up there, nor did I sense much anxiety about whether the XL is built or not. And I think this is a real dilemma for the environmental movement and the whole fight against the XL, because nothing I saw suggests that stopping this pipeline will keep the tar sands and their carbon in the ground. You have companies up there investing billions of dollars in mines and drill sites with lifespans of 50 years. They're confident they will get their product to market, if not by the XL, then by other means. It's not a pretty sight when you see it up close.
Well, the cost of energy independence, it's a mantra that American politics has been infused with for decades, possibly coming true with the Keystone XL pipeline. Tony Horowitz, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Tony Horowitz's new book, Boom, Oil, Money, Cowboys, Strippers, and the Energy Rush That Could Change America Forever.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.